College Golf Talk is back. The calendar says May. Burko and Brentley with you. It was a busy Wednesday with the selection show, a little recap on Golf Central. I was up in Connecticut doing some studio work. We're back home in the Central Florida area. I go to Whistling Straits tomorrow for the PGA work, which will start Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on our air. But as a college coach just texted me a short time ago, enjoy May. It's your busy time of the year, and it's the best time, right? I mean, you can argue Christmas is the best time of year, which it is. But from a professional standpoint, this is kind of our Super Bowl that happens the last of month.
Hey, I can't afford two Christmases now, Burko. So we get normal Christmas, and then we get postseason in college golf. Aren't we supposed to get like a vacation before our Super Bowl? Aren't we supposed to get like a little R&R? Not be gallivanting around. I'm going to be driving up to Tallahassee for the men next week or in 2 weeks. I don't know. I mean, we got to figure out a way to keep fresh.
Yeah, get back to me after the U.S. Open, where there's more than a couple of days not working, but we wouldn't have it any other way. As we did with the women last week with Justin Silverstein, the head coach of the women of Troy, he's always lent some great insight. We sort of picked the teams we believe would move on. You and I are going to do the same for the men. Now, we're taping this on a Friday morning, bright and early. The women's regionals, next time we do this, they will be done. They're next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, scattered across the country. So we'll see how close we got to our selections. And then the men the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we're going to go right down the list from the official PDF from the NCAA. We'll start Amherst, Virginia, Poplar Grove Golf Club, hosted by Liberty. Some regions have 13, some have 14. Again, the top five move on, and the individuals scattered about as well. But in Virginia, you have LSU, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, Pepperdine, Tennessee. Those are your top five. Arizona, Stanford, Wake Forest, Arkansas, Florida Gulf Coast, rounding out those 10. Then Kent State, Princeton, Howard, the 13 in Virginia. Kudos to LSU, Jake Amos, what he's done in year number one in Baton Rouge. I think you referenced it on one of our shows. You thought when it was decided, a brilliant hire. I'll be honest, he's exceeded what any first-year coach usually does in a conference like that. So I've got LSU moving on, no issues there. Oklahoma I'll have moving on as well. And then this is when it gets really intriguing. You know what? I'll even throw Pepperdine in, kind of like how they're playing. Saw them at Pasta Tiempo a few weeks ago. That's a really good, solid squad. Maybe not the headliners in years past, but I think what Michael Beard has done and is admirable. I'm always intrigued when you win a national title. It's not that following year. It's 2, 3, 4 years later. How does that impact recruiting with the portal these days? And I think he's carved out a really good team that even though they're going 2,200 miles, 2,400 miles, I like their chances. So those three I feel good about. And then as you and I discussed on the show on Wednesday, there are a lot of teams with a lot of question marks moving forward. And we can go down the rabbit hole. I love Scott Limbaugh. I love the Commodores. I love that team. I don't believe they're getting through. So I'm not going to waver from that. Do they have the ability, the talent to make it? 100%. But I'm going to stay true to how uncertain I have felt about that team. So I'm going to put in Arizona as my fourth team. Excuse me, a bit of a risk. That West to East, don't always love that. And you know what I'm going to throw in there? I'm going to throw in Wake Forest. I thought they played pretty darn well at the ACCs, weren't necessarily on my radar. So I've got LSU, Oklahoma, Pepperdine, Arizona, Wake Forest. And I can assure you that will probably be the only region that has the uncertainty at 3 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8.
I like it. I'm going to go a little bit different from you. It always seems like these regionals that are in this area, kind of Big Ten country, I know Amherst, Virginia, maybe a little bit more ACC country, but it always
call
seems
it Mid-Atlantic.
Like,
call it the Mid-Atlantic, right?
Yeah, something like that. But we always seem to get more chalk around this part of the country. I don't know that for a fact. It just, you know, in over a decade of doing this, something tells me that that happens more often than not. I know West Lafayette, maybe last year, had all chalk. So I don't think that's going to happen. What was the term that we used for this regional? Volatile?
Volatile, like chaotic, expect the unexpected. It all resonates here.
Yeah, I mean, other than LSU, I just think Al Getclean, Arnie Svensson, Jay Mendel, having that kind of firepower at the top, good coaching. You know, you mentioned Jake Amos, led ETSU 4 straight years to the NCAA championship, won a regional 1 year, got through a playoff another year. That's hard to do at any mid-major. And so I feel like it's all lining up. Ryan Hibble, I mean, that's, I think you could always maybe write Oklahoma and Penn for the foreseeable future getting through. But again, after that, it's like rattling off these conference championship results. Vanderbilt 13th at SECs, Tennessee 14th, Arkansas, not much better, 11th. Stanford 13th at ACC's, Arizona 12th in the Big 12 championship. I was surprised you picked the Wildcats, because I think at the end of the fall, we saw them at the St. Andrews Lynx Collegiate. They obviously lose to Northwestern in that final match, but this was a team with a lot of talent, and then they lose their best player, Tiger Christensen, to the pros. I think it was a little bit unexpected, and I just don't know if you know, Arizona quite, you know, has enough to get through. Vanderbilt, I'm going to pick them just because usually I'm wrong. And Gordon Sargent at some point has to give you something. And believe it or not, I actually had a crazy dream. I don't know if it was last night, Burko, or maybe the night before, but I had a dream that Gordon Sargent, went 3-0 in match play at some tournament and didn't make a bogey through 54 holes. So I don't know if that's some sort of premonition, but I'm going to go with Vandy. I'm going to go Tennessee. And then I'm going to go, I might have
you talked
do it.
About it on the
I know,
show.
I know I did. But sometimes, you know, these are some serious picks. I mean, some, you know how TV works sometimes. Sometimes you're a prisoner of the moment. You want to, mm-hmm. you want to fire off a hot take. I'm not really concerned with being wrong or not or looking dumb, but you know what? I'm going to do it. Give me Florida Gulf Coast. This is a team that was the first team out, maybe 2 years in the last four. They were the last team in 1 year. Andrew Dana has all sophomores and freshmen in the starting lineup. They were third at the A-Suns, which wasn't great, but as he told me, they had probably their worst putting performance of the entire season that week, and still only lost by 6 or 7 shots. You get to a golf course in Poplar Grove, which I haven't been there, but I've heard it's fairly wide open. But it's going to have U.S. Open type rough, or at least close to it. It's a ball-striking team. Give me the 10 seed. 10 seeds have had a little bit of success. I think they advance about maybe a little less than 10% of the time. But give me Florida Gulf Coast to round out my five.
I love it. I love it. Let's go from Virginia to Illinois. Atkins Golf Club in Urbana, Fighting Illini hosting the seeding there. 13 teams in this one as well. Oklahoma State, North Carolina, Illinois, Texas Tech, Long Beach State, UNLV, the Houston Cougars, Marquette, Troy, Pacific, NC State, Illinois State, Wright State. I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, conference championship sort of previews. I was bullish on the Cowboys. They're as good as any team in the country right now. So that's an easy check for me. North Carolina, we've made the comparison the last 3 or 4 years, flipping a coin. Was it the Tar Heels or the Commodores? Who was going to win the national title? Well, neither team has. And I think North Carolina, as this season has moved on, they're ham and egging it as well as anyone you can find. David Ford, probably your clubhouse leader to win the Haskins Award. Still a lot to be determined. So I think the Tar Heels will find their way through. Illinois at home, that's an easy check. Then it gets intriguing. Give me UNLV. Love what John Paul Hebert has done his third year with the Rebels. Caden Fioroni, one of the best players in the game that probably is under the radar. You know, I think he's a top 20 collegiate player. I'm really going to shake things up because I think there is so much depth. I think about the part of the country we're in. Give me Marquette.
The 9 seed or the 8 seed.
Give me Marquette, Big East Conference champ. We had them on the selection show. They were reacting. Give them to me. Give me the Fighting Shaka Smarts.
Speaking of the live reactions from the selection show, I'd love to see us next year gather about, I don't know, 4 or 5 teams on the bubble. I know we talked about this maybe last week on this podcast, but not updating the rankings, you know, leaving everyone kind of in the dark on who's on the bubble, who's not. And let's get some live reactions of teams that don't make it and that do make it. I think that would be great. I mean, the teams that don't make it probably wouldn't like that, but it would make great TV.
You want to break hearts. I love it.
Well, that's what they do on the basketball, right? Don't they have?
Correct. They've got all of them. They have 30 cameras, 40 cameras scattered all about. So
yeah, so that's just a pipe dream for me. I'd love just the emotion. You know, and again, like, I always tell people this because we're in a day and age, and I know we're getting a little bit off topic, but we're in a day and age where it's all our very best. Like on social media, it's all the best parts. And people get so offended when you talk about adversity and struggles. You're only documenting it so that when you do get on the other side, you know, people, you know, you appreciate it more, but then people celebrate it more because they know what you've been through. So that's my me getting on the soapbox for just a split second. As far as this regional, I'll kind of mirror you, obviously, at the top, Oklahoma State, North Carolina, Illinois. I may have misspoke when I said that Oklahoma State now is the only program to have advanced to regionals in every single year, 36 years now after Clemson finished under 500. That was a mistake in the NCAA record book. Has since been fixed. Texas is also in that 36 club. But yeah, Oklahoma State, Preston Stout, back-to-back Big 12 champ. Won it with a stomach bug or the flu. Didn't quite know, but this is a tough team. Kind of still young, but coming into their own, adding those two Cal transfers. North Carolina, you got to, for as much as David Ford has been great, I think you got to credit the back end of this lineup with freshman Grant Rossich, Sihan Sandu, who was third at the ACC championship. Even Keaton Vo putting some rounds together of late. You know, this is a team that's going to, I think, surprise some people. I said it on the show, a lot of variance in that they might not make it through regionals, but they also might make it to match play. Illinois, no-brainer, as you said. I'm not bullish on Texas Tech just because, like Gordon Sargent, Callum Scott has struggled mightily off the tee. It's leaked into other parts of his game, including the mental part. Hasn't had a top 10 all year, and this is a preseason first team All-American. And so I don't think Texas Tech gets through. Long Beach, great story. This is probably easily their best seed in a regional with the number 5 seed, Rob Murray, the job that he's done after this program lost their coach Michael Wilson to Colorado State and then to Cal. Ian Gilligan transfers to Florida. Good to see them. I got to pick someone, though. Gosh.
Need two more.
You picked UNLV. I do think Caden Fioroni, he's a big game hunter. He tends to show up in kind of the big events. but they're not playing this one at Pasatiempo. Houston, you know, great coaching. Troy's sneaky. Golly. You know what? I'm going to go against the grain a little bit. Give me Long Beach State. And give me North Carolina State, the 11 seed. They have some firepower at the top. Nick Matthews, one of the best players in the ACC. 11 seeds don't often get through, but like I say, I'm going to say this multiple times on this pod. Got to pick somebody.
Going off the beaten path. Good. Where someone's going to have a really bad result here. It's either going to be me or you. Let's go to Auburn Tigers, national champs a year ago. They are the one seed playing at home. Texas A&M, UCLA, SMU, Georgia Tech, Oregon, Purdue, Arkansas, Little Rock, TCU, Charleston, New Mexico State, Loyola, Maryland, not Maryland, USC Upstate. Yeah, that's what I was thinking for a sec. Top three feel real good. Auburn, right where they want to be, in my opinion. Texas A&M, really good run at the SECs, making it to the championship match. Love what the Bruins have done. Omar Morales, Pablo Arreño, Armin Kirikosian, third year as the head coach. Don't feel enamored going from L.A. to the Southeast, but I think they're really good. And this is where it gets intriguing again. I will take SMU, so I'm going to take Chalk for the top four. And then is it Georgia Tech? Is it Oregon? Is it Purdue? You know what? I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to take the top five. I will give the Yellow Jackets the nod because they're 80 miles from home, where Oregon's traveling 2,500 miles, Purdue's traveling 800 or 1,000. Keep a Southeast team in the Southeast, and I think Bruce Hepler's squad finds a way to get that to La Costa.
Yeah, Georgia Tech has really stumped me at times this season. You know, there's a lot of talent. You thought at the beginning of the year that Benjamin Reuter, who was a non-factor a year ago after showing signs the year before that, I really thought he was going to develop and kind of take that next leap to be an absolute superstar in the country. And that really hasn't happened. Hiroshi Tai, the reigning NCAA individual champion, hasn't been super consistent either. To me, they're probably the most concerning team in the top five. I like SMU at the top. They get a nice trio there with William Sides, Zach Kingsland, Enrique Dimayaga. Let's see. I think there's one thing we know is Auburn's going to win this one by, 30 shots? Something like that?
A good bit. Double digits, I'll say. I won't get as aggressive as 30.
It's such a tough golf course. I think it's going to be super firm. I don't know how much rain they've gotten up there, but down here in Florida, we've gotten zilch. So it's probably
our grass shows that.
I mean, I've been extra watering, so I'm growing it. But yeah, there's some yards in my neighborhood though that have really taken a beating. But yeah, Auburn has just steadily just been, you know, been there. They've been elite. They're back to number one in the country. We had Kleinert on the show on Wednesday, and he talked about how Jackson Koivin has gotten better as a player. When you think about the chipping, that was a real concern for him when he first got to college. Just continuing to shore up the parts of his game that are maybe lacking, and you know, that 5 out of 6 birdies to close at the SECs to win that one again, that was impressive. A&M, tough team. Pishak Michon, second team All-American probably this year. I think he's certainly trending that way. Give me UCLA as well. So I got to pick someone besides Georgia Tech. It's not going to be Oregon. It seems like they always get sent east, and two of the last three times they've been in SEC country, they failed to make it out, and that's somewhat recent because that trend started in 2019. Purdue and TCU, that's who it's between for me. Bill Alcorn, the job that he's done at TCU, kind of bringing in some transfers. Joe Pagden rediscovering his game, proof that it can be done, to go from the driver yips to figuring it out. But I'm going to go Purdue. Andrew Sapp, the former North Carolina coach, back with a Power Four job. This team travels south more than people realize. They spent a lot of time around spring break, down in Naples. They played well at the Calusa Cup. They beat LSU and Virginia by double digits there. They won in Puerto Rico at the start of the spring, beat Ole Miss by six there. This is a team that might be Big Ten in name only. There's some guys who can play all over the country. So I'm going to go Purdue as the seven seed getting through.
Three down, three to go. We head to the Pacific Northwest Gold Mountain Golf Club, Bremerton, Washington. Arizona State, Florida, Utah, South Carolina, South Florida, the top five, Colorado, Charlotte, Kansas, Colorado State, Kansas State, Elon, Coastal Carolina, Oral Roberts, and Seattle University. Arizona State, a no-brainer. Florida, even though they're making that south to top left on your map, really impressive at the SECs, what they've done. One through four and a half, really good. Utah, the job Garrett Clegg has put together there. We had him on the selection show. So those three, easy for me. Then I look at South Carolina. I look at South Florida. Again, that journey coast to coast. I'm going to take the Gamecocks. Quietly, slowly, they are a top 20, top 25 team in the country. I like the development there. Number five, and again, weather, flip a coin. You don't know what – you have an idea of what the weather could be like in some of these sites.
It'll be cold. We know that.
Yes, it'll be chilly. Give me Colorado as the sixth seed, the Buffaloes moving out of Washington.
Hey, I kind of called this. I had Colorado as a preseason top 25 team, I believe. So I was high on them coming in. So I like that pick. You might have stolen that pick from me. Yeah. Again, I'll go ASU, Florida, Utah, South Carolina for sure. They just had two guys qualify or get through local qualifying for the U.S. Open. Frankie Harris and Nathan Franks, who obviously last year, you know, was involved in that van crash, broke his elbow. He's fully healthy, so hopefully, you know, the Gamecocks can lean on him a little bit more this year. And then, yeah, and I'll go Colorado as well. The one team I do want to talk about here though is ASU. When you think about what happened last year when they were a number one seed out in Rancho Santa Fe, didn't get through. They were one of five top 10 teams in the country that failed to advance. And I remember Matt Thurman, you know, credit to him. You know, I talk about adversity and discussing it and being open about it. You know, credit to him. You know, he called me a couple days later and basically said, you know, our psychology was off. We had so much success, and oftentimes when you win too much and you don't handle it the right way, that can oftentimes be the worst thing for you. So they've had a year where they've had a lot of success, but I don't think, you know, they're gonna, you know, let this one kind of trick them up again this year. And you think about Preston Summerhays hasn't been amazing. He's been outside the top 30 a few times this year. Jose Lee Ballester, playing a lot of pro events, been in and out of the lineup, hasn't had the spring quite like he started off the season in the fall with. Michael Miasa, though, on the other hand, he's back after a sophomore slump. So I think they're going to be a lot more prepared. They're probably not as – not that you're ever cocky, but they're probably not as ever content with where they are right now. And I think that not only will they get through, they'll probably win this regional as well with Matt Thurman going back – to the state of Washington, where you had so much success with the Huskies?
Let's keep it out in the western part of the country, Reno, Nevada, Montreux Golf and Country Club. The tour was there for 2 decades. The Longhorns from Texas, the top seed there, followed by Virginia, Alabama, Duke, Mississippi State, BYU, San Diego, Santa Clara, California, Grand Canyon, then Sam Houston, East Tennessee State, Central Arkansas, and Fairfield. Texas, Virginia, no brainers for me. Easy to expect them to get through. And then this is where, you know, I'm going to put Alabama in there. I'm not going to overthink it. J.C. Wells' team, I feel like 80, 90% of the time we get the emails, we look at results, that they're there. They're hovering, they're lingering in a good way. I think they'll find a way to go to La Costa. If I'm not going to go chalk, I need to find someone I feel good about. I'm going to go Duke, and I'm going to go BYU. So not quite chalk from start to finish, but
I love the BYU pick. This team is deep, and you know they're not really at full strength. You know, I believe one of their players might have been Cooper Jones is on his mission right now. So they don't have him, but Cole Ponick, who was an AJGA stud, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, he's a graduate student on this team, has kind of rediscovered his game and has been a key cog for, you know, what is a really deep team. I think they get through. You know, I'm kind of with you. Like, Texas should get through easily. I thought the committee could have easily sent them to Amherst, Virginia, a little bit closer, but now they get to go west. They get to go on a golf course that has hosted PGA Tour events, and a lot of them, you got to make a lot of birdies. They got guys on their team with Tommy Morrison and Christian Moss that have played big-time professional events. My only concern is they were seventh at the SEC Championship. Tommy Morrison was, you know, had by far his worst result, and he's playing the Nelson this week on the PGA Tour. Did not get off to a good start, so he's going to have to bounce back quickly because they need him. I mean, as good as Christian Moss is, I do think Tommy Morrison is the guy who this team is going to have to lean on to carry them through whatever bumps come along the way these next few weeks. Virginia will get through for me. I'm not going to pick Alabama. I think they are trending. Jones Free has really taken off and has been crucial for this team. But I'm not going to pick them. I'm going to pick Duke just because I still think there's some depth there. And then I'm going to go California. The job Michael Wilson has done keeping this team afloat after they lost their two best players to Oklahoma State. They're going to be a little bit closer to home. I think they get through as the 9 seed. I think that's 2 9 seeds now that I've picked.
You've thrown a 10 out there, an 11. You're all over the map.
I mean, you know what that means, right?
Yeah, you're gonna go about 62%. Although I do like that Golden Bear team. So I'm first hand at Pasta Tiempo. Almost went there. Couldn't quite commit to making that selection. Last region to go over, Tallahassee, Seminole Legacy Golf Club, hosted by the Seminoles, who are the 2 seed, Ole Miss. They are number 1, San Diego State 3, Georgia, Louisville, Northwestern, Notre Dame, New Mexico, USC, Michigan State, Furman, Augusta, Davidson, Florida A&M. Give me the Rebels. Give me the Noles. Love San Diego State. They are my team, I believe. Don't love the fact they're going 20-some-100 miles to 2,500, we'll call it, to the East Coast again. They are actually my quote-unquote surprise pick to make it to match play. Bullish on Justin. Yes, at La Costa.
At La Costa.
Yes.
Well, I mean, once they get there, they're going to be sleeping in their own bed. So,
I mean, it's a sneakier drive than you think. When they have that 7:12 tee time at one round, they will not be driving. Justin Hastings is really, really good. There's a compliment there. Chanachan, Chak for Jock Chat, one of the great names in college golf.
Can you say that again?
Chanachan, Chak Pra Jock Chat. You know, just your typical 30 letter first and last name.
He was subbed out at conference. He's a little banged up, but from what Ryan Donovan said, he should be okay.
I like him. Bullish. That there's my. I'm putting it out on May 2nd. That's the team I think that makes it to match play at La Costa. So top three I like. This is where it gets interesting. It's easy to just go 4 and 5 with Georgia and Louisville. That part of the country, you know, is Northwest, is Notre Dame, Northwestern coming from the Midwest to Tallahassee. Gets interesting here. I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to lean when I'm uncertain. Give me a team staying close to home in Georgia and Louisville. It won't be 1 through 5 there. I can't quite commit to teams not overly familiar with that course, with that grass to get through. And you'd have to go all the way down to 11 at Furman to find somebody that might fit that regional area selection.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cardinal with Seabass Moss, he could potentially win the individual title, kind of compete with the likes of Luke Clinton and Tyler Weaver on their home golf course. I like that. I don't know how you get to go first every single time, Burko, but
I'm just taking ownership of this pod. I'm just taking ownership. That's all.
But no, it's good because it'll allow me to kind of gauge what you picked and adjust accordingly. Ole Miss. They're going to get through, but I will say, even with Chris Molloy coming back to a place where he was the assistant coach over a decade ago, when Brooks Koepka was still in school, considering the year that they've had and they've won a bunch, they got a really nice 1 through 5. There's been
moments.
Something about regionals that there has been something about regionals that just has not been nice to them. They've only got through, what, twice since 2015. They've been 6-3 times. When you go back to that Stanford regional in 2019, where the guy hit a bird and they ended up losing by a shot. So I think they get through, but that's just something to kind of keep an eye on. Florida State's going to win this. Luke Clayton's one win away from tying John Pock and Nolan Hankey for the school record. Obviously, if he wins each of these last two events, he will have the record all alone. San Diego State, I think it's 4 years in a row now where they've been sent 2 time zones east. They've only gotten through once during that span. I'm going to say that they don't make it. I'm going to go another 3 seed. Well, because you were so high on them.
Yeah, and thanks for listening to College Golf Talk. We'll see you next week.
I mean, I as soon as you said that they were going to make match play at the NCAA championship, I figured, well, I might as well go the other way. I might as well zag.
Fair enough.
While you zig.
One. Yep.
I'm not going to pick Georgia. I'm going to pick Louisville. And then I'm going to get a little crazy here. I'm going to go Northwestern. Just really tough team. Cameron Adam is going to do everything in his power as a senior to get this team through. Daniel Savard, probably their best player. And then give me another 10 seed. Michigan
State.
I knew you were going
to Sparty.
I just have to. I have to go with them because they're a good story. Ashton McCulloch, who we saw at the USAM last year at Hazeltine, made a run, lost to Bobby Massa, I think it was, in extra holes in the quarterfinals. He's been
who sidebar Monday qualified for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson,
and who I think. Might have shot like 78.
That's all right. Qualified
I haven't looked
for a
at
tour
it,
event.
But it didn't get off to a great start. It looked like he may have topped a drive as well. It only went about 180 yards.
We've all been there, just not in a tour event.
Ashton had a great fall. He was ranked top 20 in the country, and then he breaks a bone in his left hand before the spring starts. This team is 85th in the country at the time, 20 wins below 500, young team. But Casey Luban told me a few nights ago, talking to him on the phone, they've gone to regionals now 8 of the last 9 years, something like that. This is the one that's been the hardest to get to, but this is the one that he's most proud of. They were third at Big Tens. They were an at-large easily. They're just riding a ton of momentum, and I know that they have to travel quite a ways, but for some reason, I just have a feeling that that momentum is going to carry over. So give me another 10 seed. I'm getting wild and crazy, and it's going to come back to bite me for sure. But
no,
I didn't.
No.
I could have got real crazy. I could have went with Central Arkansas as the 13 seed in the – are they in Reno or Bremerton? They're in one of those. I think they're in Reno.
Reno, yeah.
With a graduate assistant head coach. I could have went them, but I didn't. But I feel all right. I feel all right about my picks.
Well, they always feel good before they actually start playing. All right, you've got them in the books. So we will see how we fare there. Again, the women get going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, PGA Works. This is it. We are a little bit closer on the road to La Costa as May is front and center, college golf taking a front row seat, because this is the time of year we all love. We appreciate it, as always, for listening to this edition of College Golf Talk. For Brentley, I'm Burko. We will see you next time.